Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Very good. Well, as I mentioned, tonight is going to be a very special evening. And we're going to start tonight. We're going to be exploring the Christmas story throughout the nations. So tonight we have a few of our family here today who are going to be sharing different Bible verses in their own language, which is going to be really special. So to start us off tonight, I wanted to ask you all to stand, please, to your feet for our first Bible reading, which is going to come from Mayuri Rodriguez, who's going to be sharing in Spanish.
Isaías 9, 6 y 7. Porque un niño nos ha nacido, un hijo nos es dado, y el principado sobre su hombro, y se llamará su nombre Admirable, Consejero, Dios Fuerte, Padre Eterno, Príncipe de Paz. Lo dilatado de su imperio y la paz no tendrán límite, sobre el trono de David y sobre su reino, para restaurarlo y consolidarlo en juicio y en justicia desde ahora y para siempre. El celo de Jehová de los ejércitos realizará esto.
Lover. My name is Edwina, and I will be speaking in Psalm 1. Luka matau po e lua, fai upo e mumua se o le fito. O aso lava ia nao o mei ai le pola inga kai sara o kuso, ia tusi o mai le lalani. Na faya le nei o lua I tusi ina o pule gori nio I soria. Wa o uma atu fo I ilato ia tusia. E taitasi ilana lava ai. Ua alua e foi Yosefa. Ua alua e foi Yosefa mai I Galilea. Ma lea ai o Nasareta I Utaia I lea ai o Tavita. Ua ingoa ia plete ema. Ua o lea inga ia ma le ngafa o Tavita. Ia tusia fa'atasi ma Maria malana vā, sa fau tane ia te ia, ua tō o ia. Sa iei la ua, ono o lea I ona pō e whānau ai o ia. Ua whānau e ia lana dama ulu matua. Ua ia, au ia te ia le ie, ma fata oto ia te ie le fale povi. A wala tō te leo fi le fale e tali ai mālo.
Good evening, my name is Bianca and I'll be reading from Luke 2 in Afrikaans. En met eens staan daar 'n engel van die Here by hulle. En die heerlikheid van die Here het rondom hulle geskyn en groot vrees in hulle oorweldig. En die engel sê vir hulle, moenie vrees nie, want kyk, ek bring julle 'n goeie tyding van groot blydskap wat vir die hele volk sal wees. Dat vir julle vandag in die stad van Dawid gebore is 'n saligmaker, wat Christus die Here is. En dit is vir julle die teken. Julle sal 'n kindjie vind wat in die doeke toegedraai is en wat in die krib lê. En skielik was daar saam met die engel 'n menigte van die hemelse leerskare wat God prys en sê: Eer aan God in die hoogste hemele en vrede op aarde, in die mense 'n welbehae. En toe die engele van hulle weggegaan het na die hemel, sê die herders vir mekaar: Laat ons dan na Bethlehem gaan en hierdie ding sien wat gebeur het, wat die Here aan ons bekend gemaak het.
How's it going, everyone? Merry Christmas! Hey, so I've got a little encouragement for us and around our giving today. When I think about God giving us His best, the verse that comes to mind for me is John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Two things for me from this verse that I want to quickly encourage us around this evening. And it's this. Number one, understanding the heart of our Father God. Understanding the heart of our Father God. God gives us the ultimate example of what love should look like. Love in action, right? Through His Son, Jesus Christ. He gives because of His love for the entire world. And that includes you and me as well. This is the focal point of the gospel. God's ultimate love for all of humanity. God's love for the world is so important to him that he freely gives up his one and only son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for all of humanity. You know, we may try and put ourselves, as parents, we may try and put ourselves in that place of, you know, the parents that would say, yes, I couldn't do that. I couldn't give my son or my daughter as the sacrifice for someone else, especially for people who don't know them, who won't appreciate them, who won't like them, who won't love them. But this is exactly what Father God did for you and me by giving up his son Jesus. He gave his best for you and me. God loved you so much that he gave his son. That is the heart of a loving God and Father, that he gives his best, that he gave his son so that we could spend eternity with him. The second thing is this, the invitation for whoever or whosoever. God may have been, God never has, he's not about favorites. He doesn't have favorites. He's always been about humanity as a whole. He's always been about his children, brothers and sisters. That's us. He's always about wanting to give us the opportunity to reconnect back with him as Father God. And so God's example of generosity that he has given us through his son Jesus Christ is an encouragement to us of how we can live our lives generously through loving others, through freely giving of our resources, of our time, of our energy, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That angel tree program that you saw the clip of, that was just one opportunity that our church has had to freely give of their resources, to generously love others, so that whoever believes in him, in Christ Jesus, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. That's not the last time that we're going to be doing it as a church. That's just going to be one of many other opportunities that we will have going into 2022 as well. And I believe we will all get those opportunities to freely show generosity to the people around us. And so, yeah, be encouraged by that. The heart of our Father God and the invitation for whoever. Can I pray? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Father, for today. We thank you that today we celebrate your Son, Jesus Christ, that you gave into this world, Lord God, so that we could have eternal life with you, Father. Thank you for this beautiful, precious, wonderful gift that you have given each and every one of us, Lord God. And so today, Lord God, as we listen to the story of Christ, his birth, his entry into earth, Lord God, we thank you, Father God, and we honor you for today. Lord, help us to be generous givers of love, of our resources, Father God, with the people that you place us around, Father. Lord, thank you that everything comes from you, Lord God, and we honor you today. We thank you for every family and person that is represented here. We honor you today in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Amen. And so there's several ways that you can give today. Behind me, there's slides coming up very soon, ways that you can give. Okay, so we have three ways. We have our app. And we have the BSB details, the account details and stuff. But also, you can see our guest services out in the foyer. There you go, the three ways there. So you can download our app, online banking, we can scan that QR code, as well as you can see our guest services table out in the foyer there. Okay? Be blessed.
Good evening. My name is Esther. I'll be speaking in Filipino. Juan Isa, isa hanggang lima at labing apat. Noong simula pa lamang ay naroon na ang salita, at ang salita ay kasama ng Diyos, at ang salita ay Diyos. Kasama na niya ang salita noong simula pa. Nilikha ang lahat ng mga bagay sa pamamagitan niya, at kung wala siya, walang anumang nilikha. Ang lahat ng nilikha ay nagkaroon ng buhay sa pamamagitan niya, at ang buhay na ito ay ilaw ng sangkatauhan. Ang ilaw ay nagliliwanag sa kadiliman, at ang kadiliman ay hindi naig sa ilaw. Naging tao ang salita at nanirahan sa piling natin na puspos ng kagandahang loob at katotohanan. Nasaksihan namin ang kanyang kaluwalhatian, isang kaluwalhatian na tulad ng kaisa-isang anak na nagmula sa Ama.
Thank you, sis. Can I get everybody to rise to your feet as we read together? You can just follow me. Let's read the scripture together in English. It says here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without anything, was made. In Him was life, and the life that was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son, Father, full of grace and truth." Father, we thank You for Your Word today. More than words on a page, they're words that apply in every single nation, every single culture. That You have sent Your Son to be the living Word, the fulfillment of Your Word. And we pray, God, that You would make Yourself evident in this place. God, I know You're already here. I know that there's already been a shifting in our spirits as we have put our attention on You this Christmas day. We declare and thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus. In His precious name we pray, and everyone said amen. Can we give it up for our music team who've been working so hard over the last month, not just for this service, but we've been doing some outreach events throughout this this time. And give it up for our friend Nick, who's joined us as well on the cello. So good to have you with us, family. Today, we're actually closing out our series called A Christmas Story, and we've been talking about past, present, and future, what Christmas implies for us, and the message of Christmas implies for us on this day. And so the title of the message today here on this Christmas day is The Birth of the Promise. The birth of the promise. And I'm just going to keep this short because I think God's already been speaking to us already. But I'm just going to highlight some of the things we talked about over the last couple of weeks. Three Sundays ago, we talked about what if Jesus had never been born? If the first Christmas never happened in the past, what would life be like? Well, yell out for me really quickly what year you were born on the count of three, okay? Just yell it out. Ready? Some of y'all are shy about that. 1970, tra-la-la. Ready? One, two, three. Now, did you think about the year, right, that you said? That year implies it's been 1,900 or 2,000 for those of you who are younger and haven't experienced life yet. It's since a specific date, right? And that specific date that we measure time by, whether you want to call it exact or not, is not the point. But the fact of the matter is we measure time around the first Christmas, around the birth of Jesus. We talked about hospitals, and we're thankful for hospitals, especially with the advent of this pandemic around the world right now, that hospitals were actually a Christian idea, that Christians actually instigated in ancient Rome the idea of hospitals, which is actually a mixture of the words that we get the English words later on, of hospitality and hostel or hotel. And so science All of modern science finds its roots in Christian thought. Universities, the whole idea of higher education finds its ideas in Christian thought. Again, the idea of unity in diversity, unity being theology, actually. And most of the great universities in the world actually started as Christian institutes. Obviously, that's changed now. And then the idea of government. Many of you will remember the verse that was read by my sister Mayuri in Espanol. She was talking about from Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, a prophetic word that was given 700 plus years before even the birth of Jesus, that the government would rest upon his shoulders, the shoulders of this promised Savior, Jesus Christ. So we talk about just the implications of if Jesus had never been born, our world would be very different right now. Not only, obviously, all of the structures that are around us, but even our personal lives. How many of you are thankful that God has sent his son Jesus to transform your life here today? Can I get an amen, somebody? Come on. Okay. And then last week we asked the question, what if we missed Christmas? And when we observed the lives of three groups of people that missed Christmas, despite Jesus being within the vicinity, they completely missed his presence. And so we talked about the innkeeper who literally had the King of Kings born in his property, but didn't recognize his kingship and therefore delegated or relegated, or should I say, to him to be born in a manger. Now, I know many of your pictures of mangers are very sweet and stuff, but it's more like a cave where you just let the animals sleep. And that's the best that humanity could do for Jesus when he came. So the innkeeper missed him. King Herod missed him because he thought he was the king of the Jews. And so when these wise men came and they were looking for the king of the Jews and they went to him, have you seen the king of the Jews? The king Herod was like, you're talking to the king of the Jews, right? Because he didn't want to let go of his own kingship and therefore missed the birth of the actual king of the Jews, who was the king of kings. And then you have the religious leaders who had observed all the scriptures from the past, had studied them intricately, knew them back and forth, but they still missed the birth of Jesus, which happened right in the town where they were in Bethlehem. And how many of us, right? We miss Jesus, not just in Christmas, but we miss him every year because, number one, we're caught up in the crowds and the commerce, like the innkeeper, or we're caught up in our own pride. We don't want to let go of our own control in certain areas of our lives, like King Herod. No, I'm the king. I don't want you to be king, or I'm the queen. I don't want anybody to be the queen of my heart, you know? So you don't want to give up your rulership, or you don't want to give up your idea of what life could be. Or you don't want to, you know, you just want to settle for religious pride and just settle for just your position. As long as I go to church or as long as I attend a service, then I'm good. The fact of the matter is, when you meet Jesus, how many of you can say honestly, when you meet Jesus, or when Jesus meets you, and you meet Jesus, he transforms your life. Your life is never the same. But, you know, it's during Christmas, it's almost like we are the innkeeper, where we say, not only in an actual physical inn, but in the inn of our hearts, there is no room in the inn. And we miss Jesus. And then we talked about the wise men, who were the juxtaposition of these three people who missed Jesus, right? These three men traveled for literally, most scholars would say, anywhere between 18 months to 2 years from the east in parts of Asia. And they traveled all the way to the west part of Asia, where Jerusalem is and where Bethlehem is. And so they traveled following stars, navigating. How many Pacific Islanders do we have in the house? You know, you come from navigators, right? All of our people that navigated across the oceans. Go watch Moana, get inspired again. But like, what I'm saying, beyond the reef, come on. Beyond the beef too, after all the eating, right? But the reason why I bring this up is that often at times, you know, like we're not led by the Spirit of God to do great things. We'd rather settle for what's safe and secure. And so what God did through these wise men, most scholars would believe that they were actually royalty and kings themselves. They left their kingship. They left their religious idea of, look, we're just going to worship from afar. They closed the gap of the distance. And when they got there, they worshiped him and brought gifts. They made room for him. So these are three men who did not miss the first Christmas. They transformed their lives. See, when you meet Jesus, you're willing to sacrifice everything for him because he first sacrificed everything for us. What if we have missed Christ this Christmas? And so now we're going back into what we're talking about today. And this is John chapter 1. And John is one of the disciples of Christ. And he writes these words. It's different the way he addresses his gospel because he's specifically going through different events to highlight specific aspects of God in Jesus. Now, I want you to notice this, right? In the beginning was the what? Word, right? And notice the word is capitalized there. That's important because the word is with God and the word was God. The Greek word there is homoousia, homoousia, right? Homoousia means to be of the same substance. So Jesus is literally of the same substance as God, pointing towards the divinity of Jesus. He is God wrapped in human flesh, entering into time and finite space. This is how much Jesus loves you. God doesn't have to stay in the distance of heaven and just observe you from a distance. No, he enters into time and history because he wants to be born into your situation so that you know there's a God who loves you. So that you know there's a God who has suffered the way you have suffered. So that you know there's a God who has experienced the emotional strife that you may have experienced. Because he's experienced all of these emotions, all of the physical and emotional and mental pain that anybody could face. He faced at times, 1,000 times, 100,000. I mean, Jesus knows the pain and the struggle that we may go through. He was in the beginning with God. So the Greek word therefore for word is logos. And logos is more than just the written word. It's the ordered word. That's when a statement is made. And it shapes something. In the beginning, you'll remember this in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God creates the heavens and the earth. And he uses what? He uses words. He makes statements. Let there be light, and there was light. See, words shape things. Words shape people. Proverbs even goes on to say, right? In Proverbs 18:21, it even goes on to say, the death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Have you ever noticed, right, that you don't have the gall or the confidence to step out when you are around unconfident people who constantly speak a lack of faith, maybe fear and anxiety, words that escape their mouths and into your heart and then cripple you from actually stepping out in faith and believing that God might have a dream that he wants to ignite in your life. Believing that the deposit of his gospel in your heart might literally change the nations. Oh, but you don't understand, Pastor Nelly. The words that have been spoken, they shape me. Well, I'm here to declare to you that before those words were spoken, there was one who not only spoke words over you, but he became the living word, and he offers you this opportunity, the birth of a promise. To say, look, he wasn't just born 2,000 years ago, but he wants to birth the promise in you today. And it's on us to make the choice. Do we continue to live, letting our lives being dictated by words that are dictated from whether it's well-intended family? I don't know about you, but, you know, being a Samoan, I'm not putting this on all Samoans because I don't want us to be a monolith. But understand this, you know, like when I was growing up, you know, we have those aunties that just don't hold back, right? You walk in. They're going to say something about your size or the fact that you're 30 and still single. Something like that, right? Just constantly. I remember one time I got in trouble because I was like, yeah, call me fat, look in the mirror. You know, like I was just like, oh. But praise God, God has redeemed my mouth and my mind, and that's why I'm preaching to you today. God is using this mouth that was once foul for his glory now. God himself is the living word. And he desires to use his words to shape you and reshape you if you'll just give him your life. But it's a matter of choice. Do we just stand here or do we just sit here and say, you know what? I'm going to let those words affect me. I'm going to let those words that were spoken over me continue to shape my life. Now, all of us may have had different starting points, but today we have responsibility as to what words we embrace. And there was one who was born 2,000 years ago past, who desires to speak new words over you present to shape your future. This is the gift, the greatest gift this Christmas that you could receive. Sure, some of us may have grown up in church and may have even been in some of those Christmas plays that we may have seen. I have been in those Christmas plays many times. I'm a pastor's son back in the Congregational Church in Samoa, you know. I mean, it was so hypocritical. One time I played Jesus during Easter. And the night before, I went clubbing and just got in a bad situation. And I had, like, scars on my head. And it was good that I could cover them up with a crown of thorns. But I just felt like such a hypocrite, playing the one who died for my sins, yet I was still holding on to them. Am I being too real for you today? That standing before you as a hypocrite that has been bought by the gospel and shaped by the word and transformed by the word. Because it's not the fact that I was born basically under the church organ. Man, you might as well have been. But like, it's not the fact that I grew up in church. That doesn't save me any more than being at McDonald's makes me a Happy Meal. The venue doesn't change me. It's the word that penetrates the heart more than just the words on a written page. It's when those words jump off that page and change my heart. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. His word makes things. And let me just say this, okay? Those of you who are unfamiliar with what a prophetic word might be, prophecy is simply hearing the word of God, hearing what God might be speaking and communicating it today. And I just want to prophesy over your 2022, if you'll just have the heart to receive it, is that God wants to make things through you. God wants to shape things through you. God wants to use your life to transform cultures, to transform the city, to transform your surroundings. God wants to use your life to make things. God is calling an end to your season of being a consumer-minded Christian or a consumer-minded person. And now he's saying, I want you to use your words to produce more than consume. Because I am a productive God. And I produce things with my words. And I want you to use your life and your words to produce life, because life is in the power of the tongue. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. How many of you throughout this year have experienced a dark year? I mean, we got to this time last year and we thought, man, it's almost over. We've made it. 2021. We're coming out of what? We're at the end of this year, still wearing masks, still in this pandemic. Jesus is still on the throne. It's just a matter of whether we'll let his words shape us or whether we wait for another report from our dear sister, our premier, Anastasia, comes up. Okay, guys. Well, we've got our COVID report today. What report will you believe? Like, those numbers may be facts, but I know the one who is the truth. And so no matter what the facts are, it's a matter of who holds the throne room of truth in your heart. Because whoever's word is on your heart will shape the way that you view the facts. Doesn't mean you change the facts. No, but God is giving you faith to see the facts from his perspective. Because he is the living word. Let me just wind this up. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. As I was praying for all of you who would come today, I really believe that even during this time of the year, as festive as it is and should be, with now the advent of this pandemic, there's been extra pressure. I know that even as my wife and I have been committing to doing counseling and just helping people, that marriages are under strain even more than ever, that there's more cases of domestic violence and abuse because of the pressures that are happening. It's not that the pressures are the reason, but the pressures just unearth what is in our hearts, because that's the word. That's the word that lives there. If there's words of anger and bitterness that have been spoken over our lives, you can only sweep it under the carpet so much before your carpet starts to look like Mount Everest. And then when that pressure is put on that carpet lump, it has to come out somewhere. And it comes out. I hope you had a blessed Christmas. But I've noticed too that during Christmas times, families get together and then you see that cousin that you haven't seen for a while, and you know what they did to you last time. Maybe they owe you money, or they said something that was misinterpreted on Facebook. And you're like, you're still on Facebook, I'm on TikTok, get with it, you old person. You know, like you're just still bitter, you know? And then that bitterness just erupts, especially when you start consuming alcohol and just different things start happening, or you get a bit too much food in you. And then before you know it, your family is not looking like family anymore. It's actually statistically true that, and I'm just speaking facts, but I want to invite you into the truth. You know, based on the research that was done at University of Canberra in our nation, it shows the number of hospitalizations caused by a spouse or partner assault increased by about a third when you move from the winter months towards the summer months, and escalate even more during this week that we're about to enter into, Christmas to the second week of the new year. I'm just saying, be aware of that activity that may happen. But the way you should be aware of it is by understanding who's got your heart. Who's got a hold of your heart? What word has captivated your heart? Because if it's still a word of bitterness, or still a word of something that they said 3 years ago, not giving them the opportunity to possibly repent or ask for forgiveness, then that word will erupt. And especially when you're not in a state of mind where maybe it's anxiety, or maybe you've fed into just magnifying whatever that pressure might be through different things, and then the explosion happens. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If we'll just trust the original Word and not let go of His Word and begin to uproot the old words that have been spoken. See, it's one thing to have a Bible at your house. It's another thing to actually take it, open it up, dust it off, and actually get some of that Word inside you. Pastor Nanny, I can't afford another Bible. Well, come and talk to somebody. Come talk to myself, and I'll show you that you have a smartphone. Some of you are thinking, oh, he's going to buy me a Bible. I'll buy you an app. It's free. It's called YouVersion. And every single version of the Bible, including the languages that were just read, are in that app, YouVersion, the Bible. Oh, Pastor Nelly, I'm not really good at reading. Did you know that app can actually read to you? We have literally no excuse anymore. Of all the generations that have gone before us, we literally have no excuse for not getting that word inside us. Do you realize that 500 years ago, people actually died for making the word available to the public because it was held for the elite within churches? Now every single person has access to the living word. And the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and we don't even want anything to do with it. And we wonder why. During periods like this, our hearts are fragile, and Christmas becomes a time of regret more than a time of celebration. It's because the wrong word is in us. I'm here to invite you into the word. I'll just read this piece of research here. This is from Elizabeth Hindmarsh, who's the chair of the Specific Interest Abuse and Violence Network, the governmental organization. She said, families spend more time together at Christmas, and that's more use of alcohol and drugs, and it seems to be a time that brings up more conflict in family. But I'm thankful, right? In the middle of the mess, because believe you me, none of these issues are different. Maybe the drugs and the alcohol is different from the time of Jesus to now, but believe you me, there were substances. Believe you me, there were things that would numb the pain back in the time of Jesus, and that's why God had to come in the flesh. And the Word, verse 14 of chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me just explain this to you. Hopefully I can take this out of the old Christmas plays and out of what you might have heard. And, you know, like, and because sometimes we get numb for those of us who grew up in religious settings, because we hear this time and time again. But let me break this down for you. The God who created the universe came down to our level, wrapped Himself in flesh, and entered time and history, chose the time around 2,000 years ago to enter into history. And He entered into history in one of the most volatile places in the whole world. And throughout history since then, right? Like even before then, Israel's always been a tiny nation that's always been volatile with the nations around it. Even up until now. Have you noticed that? But God chose that nation for the birth of His Son, because He knew out of small things comes a strength that would supersede generations. And he is the seed of Israel. He is Jesus Christ, the promised son. And notice the manner of how he was born. He was born into the world, into the most poor of circumstances. He would go on to say that foxes have holes, but the Son of Man, speaking of himself, would have nowhere to lay his head. He didn't have a home. When he got into ministry, he didn't have a place to stay. He knows what it's like to be homeless. He knows what it's like to be a refugee. And he knows what it's like to be rejected, isolated, anxious, to the point where you start sweating blood, knowing that you are about to be crucified, falsely executed for a crime that you never committed. But to die for the sins of the world. That's who was born 2,000 years ago. Now I stand here as somebody who has had his life completely transformed by this word. So it goes beyond just this written word. And having heard it time and time again, it never gets old with me because he's alive and he is the living word. The word has become flesh and transformed my life. And I invite you to let him transform yours. You see, in most if not all other beliefs around the world, it'll always be about you got to do better. And hopefully you'll attain some form of life, whether it's nirvana or whether it's heaven, another picture of what heaven might be. You just got to do better. But what God says through the Christian gospel, he says, you can't do better. It's impossible. So I'm going to send one who is perfect to become flesh and lay his life down for you in your imperfection to make you righteous, to cleanse you, to redeem you. Because it's not about your performance. You can't perform to earn your way into my love. You can't do it. So stop trying to attempt it. It just takes a life of surrender to say, God, life is pointless without you. But I believe your word to be true, and I want to receive your word in my heart. And so this Christmas can be the time that changes and transforms. So I'm going to just put this last question up. Have you accepted true life in Christ? Or are you just trying to live well-wrapped but unfulfilled inside? Just wanted to show you this picture here. This is a picture of a house in Stafford. I'd hate to see their energy bill and Paul, but my son and I, for those of you who don't know, my son is on the autism spectrum and he's nonverbal, but one thing I know, he loves his lights. He loves colors and lights. And so last night I said, you know what, son? We're going to go for a drive. And we're going, like I pulled out this map. For those of you who don't know, there's a website called Brisbane Families. You go on it and they've got all these maps. This is how Brisbaneites do it, man. And there's a map on Google Maps and you can go, okay, follow the trail. And you go to these different houses and then you can see all the lights. And then I saw this one. I was like, man, that's not a house. That's an amusement park. Need a season pass to get into that place. But I noticed, you can't see it on the picture, there was boxes that were furnished with lights and stuff and that were on the foyer, kind of on the porch of the house. And as they were on the porch, I just began to see, you know, like notice that those boxes had nothing in them. They're pretty. They had lots of lights around them, tied in a pretty bow, but empty. And that's why I come back to that question, because so many of us are like those boxes, right? We're decorated, we're wrapped, we look great, or we at least want to look great with that Instagram filter, great. You know, we want to present ourselves in a deep, get my good side, get the tricep pump, you know, like just trying to be great or look great. But God says, but you're empty inside. You're like those boxed presents I saw at Stafford that are all style and no substance. And that's the way empty religion becomes if we don't receive the one who fills us from the inside out, the living word, because he transforms us from the inside out. So I propose that question again. Have you accepted true life in Christ from the one who transforms you from the inside out? I actually want to share this too. If there's any of you that have been struggling with regards to relationships, maybe it's friendships, maybe in your marriage, you know, don't talk about my friend or my spouse or my girlfriend or my boyfriend, my fiance, they need to change. And God says, no, I want to change you first. I want to fill you and transform you from the inside out. So have we accepted true life in Christ, or are we just trying to live well-wrapped but unfulfilled inside. Today is the day that that can change. So I'm going to invite you right now, if you can, bow your heads, close your eyes. And this is a time where it's just between yourself and God, who sent his son Jesus. Most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So for God so loved you that he sent his only son so that whoever believes in him would not die but have eternal life. Just with every head bowed, every eye closed in this place, I'm going to invite you to pray. Just pray this prayer with me. If your desire is to say, you know what, I'm tired of being a well-wrapped present that's just empty on the inside. I've been faking the funk all this time, but all that 2021 has done is begun to unearth my emptiness inside. I want to hand my life over to the one that can fill me and make me whole. I want to give my life to the living word. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'll invite you to pray with me. Just pray this prayer with me right where you are. For those of you who are followers of Jesus, you can pray this with me as well. Just pray this. Lord Jesus, I come to you today in recognition that I am completely empty without you. There's no purpose to my life without you. For you are life, and you offer me life to live. Today I give my life to you. Take full control. I know you know what's best for me, so I trust you. I pray you would fill me from the inside out. Thank you that you forgive me for my sin and you cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Thank you that you love me and that your love transforms. I thank you that as you are mine today, that I am also yours. And that from this day forward, my life belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just continue to bow your heads and close your eyes just to make sure. So it's just so I know who I'm praying for. Can you, those of you who prayed that prayer with no one else looking around, can you just lift your hands, just say, Nelly, I prayed that prayer. I want you to pray for me just to seal the deal if that's you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray for these ones who have their hands lifted. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing in the lives of my brothers and sisters in this room. Lord, that this will be a Christmas that will be marked totally transforming the history of our lives. I thank you, Lord, that because we've come and because we are wanting to follow you, God, that historical chains are being broken in this place. Things that have bound us to lifestyle choices that have kept us in addiction or just kept us in patterns, Lord God, that have kept us chained for so long. I thank you that they're now broken in the name of Jesus, because you are life and you are life abundantly. And Lord, I thank you that as you're alive in us, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is complete freedom. So I proclaim right now liberty over the captive in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.